Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right, let's turn our attention to the latest inflation data released today. The consumer price inflation index remaining steady at 3.2%. But when you look closer at the numbers, lower fuel prices are helping to ease inflationary pressure, but food prices are still sticky on the upside. In fact, we saw a spike in maize, in particular maize and SAM prices, which pushed food inflation to its highest level in 4 months. Koketso Mano, FNB senior economist, joins me now to take us through these latest inflation figures. Koketso, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Right, so CPI coming in slightly lower than expectations. What was behind that, though?
Yeah, so we had anticipated a 3.3%, so we were also slightly lower than the market. Mm-hmm. But that said, we were, you know, surprised to the upside quite a little bit there. We mostly see, you know, we saw more pressures coming through on the core inflation front, especially, you know, with your infrequent surveys coming through. So that's when we were mostly surprised. Other than that, I mean, food was broadly as expected. We had anticipated that, you know, you will continue to see a creeping up of those numbers, especially with cereal prices continuing to be a concern, as you already mentioned. Fuel prices, you know, we would have already anticipated that, given that you do get those fuel price increases ahead of the CPI numbers. So no, not too much surprises there, but I guess the slight downside surprise is a positive fundamental.
If we break down those figures, I mean, that's obviously a concern. The food price is still pushing up. What are we sitting at? Almost 10% at the moment?
So with food and non-alcoholic beverages inflation on a year-on-year basis, we see that number at 2.8%. Mm-hmm. So that's up from 2.3% in January. So that's when you look at the entire basket, not just the single items.
Okay.
So there are those other items within the basket that are keeping inflation low. Meat, for example, we're not seeing quite a lot of pressure there. So there are those counterbalances that are currently keeping the entire food basket low.
Looking at the food basket, I mean, maize is a staple in South Africa. Now, if we look at the factors driving these trends, I mean, we've had excessive amounts of rain in recent months. This obviously doesn't bode well. I mean, if we're not in drought, then we're having too much of rain. Obviously, the weather and the seasonal changes is having an impact on agriculture.
Definitely. And that's something we would have, you know, noted for the past couple of years, right? So like you're saying, if we're not in an El Nino phase where you see drier than usual conditions, you're sitting in the La Nina phase, which is currently where we are, where you have higher than usual rainfall. And either way, you get crop decimation in some areas. And unfortunately, that does result in lower yields, for example, when you think about some of that agricultural produce. You will remember also going into the latter part of 2024, there are also, you know, avian flu outbreaks. So biosecurity issues are also coming through, affecting not only, you know, your cereals, but also your livestock, and some of those meat prices, even if it's on an occasional basis. So it does seem as though climate change is really going to be a big theme for agricultural produce. I guess the positive thing here is what we hear from farmers is that, you know, there is seed technology to make sure that seeds are more insulated or are still able to provide high yields, even with these climate change issues. But adverse weather conditions will continue to be a concern for countries that are, you know, trying to make sure that there is food security when it comes to supply.
Yep, you're right. Climate change, we have to be thinking ahead because it's going to get worse.
Yes,
looking at another positive in these numbers, I mean, the fuel prices lifted by 3.9% month on month, but they were lower than the February last year. So, you know, fuel prices always a big factor to look at in inflation, and that's usually what drives everything. Your fuel prices go up. We are seeing that coming much lower and providing some relief on that front.
Definitely. So, you know what, when we look at a lot of the numbers in the CPI today, you get the sense that you're seeing monthly pressure, but you're not seeing annual pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's really just a feature of how you look at the numbers. So if you compare to the start of last year, you would have still seen high levels of, you know, inflation when you look at the CPI, the index level. So when you compare to last year, you will still see these low numbers being a feature, just as a matter of how you look at it statistically. So even with fuel, we're seeing the same thing. Yes, you're seeing an increase on a month-on-month basis in February, but on a year-on-year basis, you still see prices being lower than what they were in February of 2024. And I guess when we speak about the outlook, what we think about the rand is going to be very important. We've seen a lot of volatility in global markets, and that has weighed on emerging market currencies. But then of late, you know, a lot of analysts are speaking about possible recession in the United States, and that might be something that weighs on the dollar. So maybe we see an improvement in the rand going forward. So that might be something that we look forward to. But also a big fundamental there is what's happening with oil prices. So if we see a ceasefire with, you know, the Russia-Ukraine issue, that might be something that really supports, you know, the supply of oil. And especially if we also get OPEC plus adding supply as anticipated in April, that will also be something that weighs on the oil price. So all that put together does suggest that you could see, you know, an improvement in fuel prices going forward. And, you know, looking at the numbers that we've seen today, it will be something that compounds, you know, these this low inflation trend. You know, we might see numbers still sticking around that 3% level. So the lower end of the inflation target band, at least in the first half of this year.
Yeah, we heard, you know, the Reserve Bank governor talking about geopolitical events happening and how it's impacting us and the uncertainty that it's bringing to our market. So there might be some upside if, you know, we get the case of the ceasefire and things calm down there. But it's just that uncertainty that keeps the Reserve Bank so cautious at this point. Now, that figure is still, I mean, the inflation figure is still on the very low side of the Reserve Bank's target band of 3 to 6%. But what are we expecting the bank to do, given these figures? What do we expect the bank to do with rates tomorrow?
What we think, and just to note, you know, analysts are quite split on this. Some expect a 25 basis point cut. We are in the camp where we see the Reserve Bank holding. We think that, you know, these global dynamics
I thought you were going to say that we're in the camp of a 50 basis point cut, because some economists are also asking for that.
I mean, you know what? The inflation numbers dictate that there is space. Right. Yes. And our anticipation is that by the end of this year, you will definitely get that 50 basis point cut. We don't think it comes in all at once. We think the Reserve Bank has, you know, proven that it is quite cautious, pragmatic in its approach. It's not in a hurry, you know, to loosen interest rates or loosen monetary policy, rather. But we think that, you know, just them being in a cautious risk management state dictates that they might hold, and then you will still see in most likelihood that before the end of the first half you do get another 25 basis point cut, and then before the end of the year, which we think might be the November meeting, you get another 25 basis point cut. So I think what you need to take from this is that analysts broadly agree that there are cuts that are still coming through this year. When exactly it happens is where the contention is. Some say tomorrow, some say it's a bigger cut tomorrow and then you're done. Some of us are in the camp of, you know, easy does it, and they'll probably do a staggered approach. But either way, by the end of the year, you should see interest rates that are lower than what where they currently are at the moment.
But we're already seeing the impact, you know, of the previous interest rate cuts. We are seeing a little bit more movement in terms of spending, household consumption, improving on that side. And considering that, you know, the economy is still very weak. We're only averaging. I mean, last year we only made 0.6%, and this year we're looking at about 1.7-1.8%. The economy still needs a little bit more of a boost, and this could actually help us get that going. Can the Reserve Bank, I mean, obviously it's got the space, but will it still use that as a tool to get this moving, get the economy moving again?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, this is where we start talking about at what level of interest rates is the Reserve Bank going to be more supportive to the economy? You know, our anticipation is that 7% is probably the neutral level. So at 7% repo rate, you are neither restrictive or accommodative to the economy. And unfortunately, we see interest rates settling at that level. So we think the Reserve Bank is probably not going to move into an accommodative stance. at least not anytime soon, especially with the unfolding global risks. We think, as they have previously mentioned, they are more in the position of the structural constraints in South Africa are what is keeping growth down, not necessarily some cyclical boost from monetary and fiscal policy, right? So it's more of how do you increase productivity in the economy in order for you to take advantage of, you know, whether it's changing or the recalibration of supply chains. You need energy. You need your logistical networks to be working efficiently. You need efficient municipality services and the delivery of services, that is. So I think the Reserve Bank has always, you know, told that story that you probably see what's really going to drive growth in the outlook being the most structural constraints being lifted rather than cyclical monetary policy. At this stage, we see them just moving to a neutral stance.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the governor has always said that, you know, there's only so much that they can do and there's only so much they can stretch this tool. Koketso, thank you so much for your time this evening. Koketso Mano, FNB Senior Economist.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.